Hello and welcome to Plate Stack Chat. It's a chat show. I'm your host, Jason CF Media, and I've realized that I need to make these monologues slightly longer so that people have time to skip the ad and join the live stream and they won't have missed anything. Of course, the other option would be some kind of intro music or a song. So if you're a talented musician listening to this and you want to send something over, well, you know, I'll take it. But as I said, this is a chat show and I can't do that by myself. So I am always joined by some wonderful guests. And of course, today is no exception. So first, let's welcome, I'm guessing it's the youngest guest I've had on the show so far. I think I met her back in 2022 at the British Teen Championships, where she came second. She then went on to win it the following year, 2023. And I believe she won it in 2021 as well. But this year, she has also finished second in the UK and seventh worldwide in the CrossFit Open's 16 and 17-year-old division. And most recently was hanging out in sunny Mallorca with former guest John Singleton, taking second place at the program's crown. So please welcome back to the wet and rainy UK and to this podcast, teen sensation Hannah Wendt.
Hi.
Okay, that high was very quick, which is good because we've been a little bit worried about some lag on your side, but so far so good. Welcome, Hannah. Got lots of
Thanks
questions
for having
about. Well, you're happy that you're here, and we've got lots of questions about your experience at the Crown as well. But before we can get to that, we have to welcome our second guest. So joining Hannah and myself is maybe one of the most passionate men in the world of CrossFit. In fact, he is so passionate about his opinions that he actually feels bad for you if you disagree with him because it means you are wrong. He was also involved in one of the greatest injustices in all of CrossFit when Brian Spinn won the Coffee Pods and Wads Around the Whiteboard semifinal. And you will have seen him popping up all over the place, Be Friendly Fitnessing, Get With The Programming, the Savan podcast, and the Barbell Spin. Apparently, they get him on as some kind of CrossFit analyst, although I think he might actually be some kind of geologist as he keeps talking about mountains. Please welcome the lover of a heavy barbell. It's Mr. John Young.
Oh, man, I don't know what to do with welcome, that John. Introduction, but thank you for having me.
You're welcome. I'm happy that you're here. Okay. It's all set. So far, just before we went live, and we've gone live slightly, you know, a little bit later than I said we would, about 4 minutes, but Hannah was having some technical difficulties. It was a bit of a lag, and you were telling me that yesterday StreamYard just betrayed you. And so we've come into this and I'm very worried about audio and things cutting out. And that is the beauty of doing these shows live now, but hey, here we are. So let's try it out. How's everyone, you know, feeling today? We're all good. We're all happy apart from technical issues.
Yeah, good. Thank you.
Yeah, so far so good.
So far so good. Hannah, I know it's so stereotypical for English people to speak about the weather, but I found out that your surname is German, so maybe that's some kind of loophole we can get around. But it has been absolutely pouring with rain all day where I am. I don't know about how it was for you, but how do you feel about coming back from Mallorca to this beautiful English weather?
Yeah, fairly similar for me. Raining all day. Yeah, bit of a shock after being in Mallorca for the week. We had pretty good weather there. I know they have a tendency to have like storms and stuff, but we didn't really get any of that. We were pretty good weather, apart from for our pizza party, which was meant to be outside when it did rain.
Oh, so this is what the program are doing. They're getting all these incredible teen athletes there and then they're feeding them pizza. That's I don't know how I feel about that.
After 4 days of very hard competition.
Hey, we need the carb refueling, Jason.
That's
all
it.
Good.
Little treat.
I see. I have the pizza without the need for carb refueling, so I don't even have an excuse. John, you've been given some advice by Barkley saying not to bulldoze Hannah here and to be respectful. But
I've never bulldozed anybody, Barkley. I don't know what you're talking about.
And I mean, do we want to address the around the whiteboard controversy, John? I feel like it's been beaten to death here, but
it's fine. It was so long ago. I don't feel like reliving that.
This is the longest we've been able to chat because one, you watch the show and Peter sort of, you know, 60-second mark, just that's it. You're silenced. But I think what people don't know is that also you turn up and it just starts. There's not much chat before or after. You get in there. And he's like, okay,
were you very ill-prepared for that?
not so much ill-prepared for that. Just sort of, I thought, oh, it'll be nice. I have a chance to chat with John and Spin. And who was it? Josh Bridges the previous week. And Who was the other person?
Thibaut, Celine.
No, that was
my first one.
I think it was Justin Kotler. Maybe when I went on. I can't remember now. Anyway, it doesn't matter. That's bad. Someone said your audio is back on track, but I'm not sure it is, John. I think there's a delay.
Hope not.
Oh, no. Now it's working. Okay. That's good. Who's got the dog?
Sorry. That's me. I apologize, guys. My wife's about to leave for work, so I'll mute myself until spoken to.
Oh, don't worry about it. I don't mind the dog joining us. So this is you asking me about going live before. I'm quite happy to go live. But what I do think about a lot is the longer I do this and the more live episodes I do, the more chance my kids have of just coming in and interrupting a recording. Because, you know, I give them the chat loud. I've gone downstairs like, hey, guys, I'm just going to be like an hour. Just going to record this. It'll be fine. Don't worry. But you know, if you just stay downstairs or if you're upstairs, maybe just don't make too much noise by the door. And the longer I do this, the more shows, the more chance that one of them has of just coming in and joining the show. So I think I should just embrace it like Chase does whenever his kids pop up on the show.
Yeah, everybody loves when Chase's kids pop up on the show. He makes it seem like, oh, see how like wholesome dad I am, guys? Look at my kids over here. Which, you know, he probably is, but he spends it good.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe he's messaging his wife. Quick, send them in now. Send them in now. People need to see me as a good dad. So Hannah, you've mentioned 4 days of did you say grueling competition? Or have I inserted that myself?
Like that, yeah.
Yeah. So I think it's funny having you and John on at the same time because you did really, really well the first days of The Crown. You had a couple of event wins overall, right?
It went downhill from there, but yes.
Yeah. So
yeah, first few days I got a few event wins.
What was it that made it go downhill for you?
The lifting was kind of the start of the decline. I'm typically not a great lifter. I struggle to kind of compete with some of the other stronger girls. So yeah.
Okay. Same for you too, John, right? You hate a heavy barbell.
What's your background in, Hannah?
Swimming. I was a swimmer. So I've got a good aerobic base, good fitness. Not so much with the strength yet.
Gotcha.
Makes sense why you won the swim event now.
Yeah. Yeah, that was probably one of my favorites. Either that or the gymnastics chipper. I like a bit of high school gymnastics as well.
So what is it about the lifting for you then that's sort of the problem? Is it just the time that you need to build the
strength?
You've got
to get stronger, Jason.
the reason I don't think it is just getting stronger, though,
somebody
is it?
Somebody says, hey, John, why do you run so slow? Because I'm slow. Like, I got to get faster.
Yeah, but you could. But there, at least you can say, I'm slow because, you know, I'm strong, so I'm heavy. You know, I often wonder with, like, swimming where, you know, you're doing a lot of, I don't know what stroke you were swimming mostly when you were doing it, but I always wonder if there's things like, you know, particular things like snatching and overhead position, like are you better in that position because of your background in swimming, or is actually, there was a guy who started at the box recently that I train at who was like incredible, yeah, aerobic capacity, but anything overhead, he was so stiff, like he did not have the mobility to just kind of hold certain positions overhead. Obviously been swimming for a lot longer than you because he's a lot older than you are, so that also probably paid into the mobility issues as well. But that's why I ask.
Yeah, I think I've got pretty good shoulder mobility from the swimming, actually. Yeah. But I think with the strength, it takes time and patience. So it's just a case of I think waiting till I grow a bit more.
Yeah, and get you're a bit still stronger. What,
16, yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
so I've got another couple years, you know, kind of to get strong.
2 or 3 squat cycles, and you're fine.
Yeah,
just 2 or 3. That's all it takes. Wow.
If you do it right, yeah. JY Barbell Club. That's all you got.
There we go. I was just waiting for that.
Self famous plug. Yeah, plug.
Almost put it in the intro, but I thought I'll leave John to say it himself.
That's okay.
Hannah Barkley is asking, what was your swimming event/stroke?
I was more of like a long distance, well, long middle distance freestyler. So like 400 free, 800 free, 200 free maybe at a push. But I was obviously quite young still, so we didn't specialize that much.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you are still quite young. So how, so what was it then that got you to sort of stop swimming and start? Did you go from swimming to CrossFit?
Yeah. So it was because obviously with COVID, there wasn't a lot of pool access. So when we kind of came out of the first lockdown, I started a bit of CrossFit, did them together for a bit, and then decided like I wanted to go all in on whatever I was going to do, and decided they didn't really go hand in hand. So I stopped the swimming and went all in with CrossFit, kind of see what I could do.
That's interesting. So, you know.
Do you have a coach, Anna?
Oh.
What'd you say there?
Do you have a coach?
Yeah, I do. So I train out of my gym, and Sam, so SCL Personal Training on Instagram, if anyone wants to check him out. So I get programming from my coach. So I do a lot of stuff like on my own in open gym. And I kind of do hop in with classes sometimes. I do like team mod on Saturdays, keep it fun, keep it interesting.
So you've obviously done very well in the open. And even last year you did very well also in like the quarters and semifinals as well. I was looking at your thing earlier. So obviously with like the change this year to having sort of a larger field of teen athletes, I mean, is that, I'm assuming that's the end goal, right? For you this year is to try and make it there.
That's the plan. Hopefully make it to the games.
Yeah. And well, as I said, looking at your sort of record already, I mean, that's not, yeah, I think a lot of people have that goal as kind of a long-term goal. But that seems like a goal that is really within striking distance. So I guess, you know, you're saying you hop in on some classes, got to keep it light, keep it fun. How do you kind of juggle the balance between, well, actually, I am really good at this and I've got, you know, a lot of potential to, you know, to go far with, but I also want to keep it fun and light and not kind of, you know, not burn out on training and what I'm doing. Or, you know, do you find it difficult to do that? Or is that just sort of naturally your way?
I think it helps that I find most of what I do fun anyway. Like even just like long grueling workouts kind of on my own in open gym, I still find that fun in like a type 2 fun kind of way. So it's not like I don't enjoy all the other stuff. But yeah, I just try and keep it in the back of my mind. Like I don't want to be burning out. I don't want to sort of get sick of it. So yeah, trying to keep a bit of a balance, like every so often hopping in on pieces with other people, just like doing all the fun skill stuff as well. The bits that I really enjoy.
Nice. Well, good. Sounds good. And I guess then.
And I would keep that mindset as you get better and better. Right. Like say you make the games and then like your training volume increases and you get better and better, you get stronger and stronger and all this stuff. I feel like teens specifically don't have enough fun or just like they create this obsession and they want to be good so badly. And then that's why we've seen so much burnout lately with the top competitors.
So I think we see it a lot, particularly with the young girls, like obviously kind of most of them that have entered the space in the last few years, you see a kind of dropping out, burning out. So I think especially speaking to people at the Crown this weekend, like I think everybody's kind of that mindset, really trying not to burn out, to kind of keep a balance of everything.
So first of all, just the barbell spin is saying John's audio is so much better than my show. Read into that what you want, Mr. Spin.
That's Brian's fault. That's all it is. It's just Brian's fault.
I was going to say something, but I think Pedro said it better than I could. It's almost like John's actually trying on this show. So
well, there we I'm go. Glad all my friends are hating on me right now. It's just bringing me so much joy.
John, I'm just glad you brought them along because that's good for me. So I was going to ask you then, Hannah, like piggybacking off what John has said, and you're talking about the Crown and kind of the atmosphere there. Do you think then, because people have seen kind of what can happen with burnout, and if you kind of isolate yourself and just go all in on your training, that when there is an opportunity for you all to kind of gather together, it's a little bit easier to maybe embrace that and sort of not view everyone as a competitor and, you know, you're out to get each other, but to kind of really enjoy that experience of doing this fun event. I was going to say event, but I'm trying to think what John kept calling it. But I think he was calling it an experience, wasn't he? Like to have this fun experience all together. Do you notice sort of, I guess, a difference when you're there than compared to like when you were, I don't know, British champs or something like that?
Yeah, I think it's definitely different because they were very much drilling it into us all weekend that it's an experience, not necessarily a competition. So it's a great chance to actually get to know people because we were together all week. So you used to kind of spend in every waking minute with them. You actually got to get to know them as people as well as competitors. And we kind of flick the switch, obviously, when we start the event, we're all in it for ourselves. But yeah, it was good to kind of actually get to know people. Because usually you turn up at comps and you see them on the comp floor, you'll maybe exchange a few words, but probably won't go any further than that because you'll go back, you'll chill between events and you won't get a chance to actually speak to them. But yeah, so it's definitely different in that sense.
Do you have a background in another sport, John?
Do I have a background in another sport?
Yeah.
I played football, basketball, and lacrosse in high school. But it just high school. I probably could have done another one like in a very small college or in a very small college continue.
But John, what's going on with your audio?
I did not feel the need to do that.
So Spin and Pedro have come up, started talking about your audio, and now suddenly it starts cutting out. This is a conspiracy theory is brewing.
If it happens again, I'll come in and come out.
That's fine. Well, because I just wondered if you sort of, so I don't really have any kind of, like apart from, sport at school that was the kind of mandatory sport that we had to do. I wasn't in like any of the clubs afterwards. I wasn't like pursuing any of the sports. So I kind of wondered, you know, again, going with this idea of like burnout and things like that, that we see because the nature of CrossFit being quite a kind of a solo thing, because even if you're training with other people or you've got, you know, sort of like teammates or people in the same camp, you're not necessarily working on the same weaknesses, which means your training can even be quite different. You know, so you might have the same coach or the same person programming for you, but you're kind of not necessarily doing workouts together as much as because you're kind of having to go off and do your own stuff. Whereas like with team sports, you've got that team that are there that kind of helps avoid the burnout and sort of those, I don't know, feeling isolated maybe. It's just an interesting thing because I don't know, there's all these comments that you see kind of going around about what's happening in CrossFit and, you know, young athletes getting burnt out and people like leaving the sport for this reason or that reason. And you kind of think, I'm pretty sure if you just look at sport in general, like a lot of the things people are saying, oh, in CrossFit, this is happening or that's happening. It's just all sport. It's just that because CrossFit is such a, you know, it's relatively new and it's also relatively small compared to kind of how many people start playing football or baseball or basketball or whatever. And you're not going to hear all the stories of people that just decide, you know what, I'm not having fun, I'm going to go and do something else. But you kind of do hear it within CrossFit.
I don't know if I agree with that, though.
No? You don't have to agree. That's why you're on, John.
Here's my reasoning. Because, like, the burnout that we're hearing, right, or, like, the people who are stepping away are top-tier, top 15 fittest people in the world, right? So that it would be like, okay. I'm trying to relate this to British people.
I can't wait to hear what sport you come up with.
Y'all don't know football. Soccer would be the obvious thing. Football would be the obvious choice. But I don't know any good soccer players. But you take a top level David Beckham, like when he was growing up, and then he's like, I don't want to play soccer anymore. Like I just, it's too much. You know what I mean? Like if you take a top level athlete, Tyson Fury's British, right? Boxing.
I follow CrossFit, John. I know less about English sport than you do.
Oh man, Jason. Okay, all right. Well, like a top level athlete in their sport dropping out because they're mentally burned out. I don't think you see that very often. Yeah, but it's a little different, man. Simone Biles had a lot of stuff going on.
Harry Kane's another option.
Man, I don't hear a lot of those stories. Does that make sense? Yeah. Like a top level. Now you hear lower tier people burn out all the time, but I'm not saying that y'all are stupid. I'm saying I'm stupid for not knowing y'all's people. That's what I'm saying. Okay. But I need to do better with knowing British athletes. Maybe if y'all were better at some, I'd know some, but it's okay. It's okay.
Yeah, sorry that we can't win like the World Series because
we can both be wrong. It's all good. It's all good. It's all good. You know what I mean though? Unless y'all know more.
Like John saying he doesn't want to have good audio anymore. Oh, people they really go for you in the comments, John.
Oh, you have no idea. I wouldn't put them all up because it'll get nasty here in a minute. I'll start getting called the guy from Goonies. That's probably my favorite one, but it's okay. But like a top level athlete dropping out of a sport due to mental burnout, I don't think we hear that in other sports very often. You hear a lot of like mid-tier or like, you know, people who probably weren't good enough anyway. And that's not the case with what we are seeing in CrossFit.
Yeah. So
it's the top of the spear.
So here's a question then on that. Do you think, and Hannah, please weigh in because you're, you know, primed to maybe do this kind of a jump in the, particularly like with the teen division and that you can.
I thought you were going to say burnout. And I was like, what are you saying, Jason?
No. I have full confidence in Hannah and her mental fortitude. What I mean is that the nature of CrossFit in that, you know, theoretically anyone can get to the games. You sign up for the Open, and if you're good enough, you can go through all the stages and make it to the, like, there isn't a barrier of entry of like, well, you need to go through a particular club or you need to, you know, have a, you know, registered with a particular type of club for this sort of sport. There's no sort of, you're not necessarily gone through camps that are kind of maybe training you to be better at your sport, but potentially also because they've been doing this sport for, you know, years and years and years and years, have also been helping people to kind of have the right approach to the sport, to get mentally strong, to realize, you know, I think about, you know, when even people say things about like, oh, the commentary or people talking about athletes, and you should be careful how you talk about athletes, and you kind of feel like in other sports they're probably prepped more for interviews, for, you know, being talked about in their sport, because it's just, it's a much longer lived sport, so people are more used to that. Whereas CrossFit, you can go from, you know, 1 week not necessarily being that well known to, you know, doing really well in these events, going to the games for the first time, and then suddenly people know who you are and they're talking about you. And maybe it's been so quick that there hasn't been that like adjustment period to kind of be ready for what that all is going to bring. Here we go.
Yeah, I think you're right with that in terms of you don't get a lot of prep for any kind of media stuff. Obviously on a much smaller scale at the moment, but getting thrown into like the Crown, that was very media focused, like camera in your face all the time kind of thing. And yeah, no idea what to do.
Yeah. Now you're on
you
this.
Be yourself, girl.
I know. Then getting thrown into this straight after.
Yeah. The petitions are great. I will never be angry about the petition, Chase. That helped me tremendously. John, you're a net positive to any podcast fact. There you go. Just to show that I don't only pull up the ones that say bad things about you. Look at that. What a nice compliment there.
I'm glad you could find one nice one in the bunch.
I agree on the very often part, but it happens. Andrew Lux, I mean, it's okay. It doesn't have, I was trying to work out what the very often is, but now I've got that. See what Jean has to say. Is the pressure amplified for the young athletes for whom social media is given a bit more weight in their lives? The OG CrossFitters were a bit older by the time social media became a big thing.
I mean, I think that's a great comment. I 100% agree with that. I think people are addicted to their phones. I wish there was I think I'm addicted to mine. I think the how much social media plays into our everyday lives, if you just like, if you could tally total time, it is ridiculous. And like, I applaud people when people are like, hey, I'm gonna get off Instagram for a month or whatever. Like, I applaud them for it. And like, I almost kind of can't now because I'm sucked into it because I do all these podcasts and I have to be, you know, I have to try to be an analyst and all this stuff. You know, I almost can't now, but I would 100% agree it's amplified because if you get, and Hannah, you can tell me if you agree with this or not. We don't have to get like super personal about it, but like if you're big time and like, say we'll talk about Mal O'Brien, right? Cause she's was about your age when she blew up, and like started winning, you know, going to the games and all this stuff. And every single comment you're reading on there, and then there's just, you know, terrible people writing terrible things. And then you get the sexual stuff that happens too, especially with women and their DMs. And like, they don't sign up for that, but it's going to happen almost every single time when somebody is good enough to be at the top of any sport. And I think the older generation would just like, well, they didn't have to deal with it, but they're way more liable to just turn it off than the younger generation is. And it's, I think it's rough. Hold on. Hey.
I think John was making such a wonderful point and then he gets interrupted.
Somebody's delivering a package. But so go ahead, Hannah. What do you think?
Yeah, I think you're right in terms of the fact that social media is such a big part of everyone's lives, and then coupled with the fact that you don't really get prepared for, obviously, necessarily like the onslaught of media attention that you're going to get. Like looking at them, like, yeah, Mal O'Brien, Emma Carey, like Hayley Adams, all of them kind of ones. Like, I don't have a big enough social media following or anything yet to be getting that, but you definitely see it. And yeah, it's having the ability to kind of switch off from it is definitely harder as a younger person, I think, because your life's kind of quite intertwined in the social media.
So that's, I guess, like linking back then to what I was saying before, is that that's the thing I think potentially happens with CrossFit. Because you're saying at the moment, oh, I don't really have a big enough social media presence for that to be an issue. But it wouldn't take much for you through competitions and just like getting out there and being seen on some of the larger competition floors for that then to blow up. And then suddenly out of nowhere, you are dealing with all the things that John's mentioned. And I kind of wonder if that almost like whiplash of just suddenly being bombarded by this stuff without being prepared for it is what can kind of contribute to these factors.
Well, you just, I noticed that even on a smaller scale, like off the back of the crown this weekend, I probably gained like 70 followers, which when you've only got sort of 1,000 is fairly significant. Like, yeah, just by my name being out there on a couple of posts on their like live streams and stuff. Yeah. Like, I can see how, yeah, on a bigger scale, that could definitely happen like really quickly.
Hey, I'm right with you. Add 70 followers to my Instagram, I'm very happy. That's good numbers for me. So thank you, Jean. He's always got good questions. Okay, I'm guessing it's Chase that is commenting through Get With The Programming today, because
what gave it away? Bill can't operate technology. He don't know how to make a comment, so it's always Chase.
I'll say whatever I want about athletes when it comes to their performance on the floor, which I think is coupled with, I saw Pedro say something, here we are. In CrossFit, any kind of critique is taken as a personal comment versus, say, tennis or golf or F1, which are all individual too. And I kind of agree with that as well, that it's very hard.
I disagree with this wholeheartedly.
Oh, great. Hold on. Let me send a link to Pedro so he can join us.
I think people choose to make it personal. When I'm talking about social media, I'm talking about, you know, bad things in little girls' DMs that shouldn't have bad things. And I think a lot of that happens if you are like wide to the public, if you have 100,000 plus followers, and it's very unfair. And I think stuff like that is what causes people to like shut down a little bit, not even, and then people build this expectation that you're supposed to be this fit. You're supposed to, you can't have a bad day because there's so many people counting on you, and the whole thing just is too much to bear. But as far as critiques, I think people choose to take that personally. Like that's, then that's your own problem. Like if Jason, if I say that's a trash question, Jason, why would you ask that? I think that's stupid. If you can't take that and just be like, I disagree with you, I think you're stupid, right?
I just remove you from the chat. Just
take that criticism and instead you think I'm a dick for the rest of your life because I said that that was a bad question. That's your problem. You chose to take that personally. I think we should all, we could all be able to disagree with each other or critique each other. And then you need to look at yourself in the mirror and be like, you know what? I can see why you think that, or you're right, or I disagree with you. I think all of that is okay.
Yeah. But and I think that's what, I think that's what Pedro's saying is that like any critique given, a lot of people will take that. So, you know, again, like if you're playing another sport, I still think it goes back to just people being prepared before these things happen. So it's like this event is 20 minutes. So we're going to be watching you for 20 minutes and there's only, you know, 10 of you on the field, or maximum 20 of you on the field. And Chase has to talk the whole time because we're watching it. So that means sometimes he's going to have to say something like, oh, they've put the bar down again. Oh, you know, that wasn't really like no one else put it down, but they put it down. And then they're going to.
It's the truth. Yeah, you can't be hurt about that. But I see what you're saying, Peter. I read your comment out of context. But yeah, he's saying the same thing. I'm 100% on that side, and people need to have thicker skin.
Yeah, but I would also say the other points that you made, as always in classic Jason style, I'm going right down the middle. It's also true what you say. So yes, perhaps we can help to prepare younger athletes in particular, but really all athletes that are going through, because you know, you can be a bit older and still entering the, you know, the scene and coming from another sport. So you just happen to be fit enough to make it to some of the bigger stages, but being prepared for, look, you know, you are the car in this event. We can't talk about anything. Like, you're the athlete. You're what we can talk about. So you're going to be talked about. Be ready for that. It's nothing personal. It's just, you know, that's the sport. But at the same time, you know, the unsolicited DMs and the things that people are saying and comments and stuff like that, of course, that's not on the athlete to kind of, you shouldn't have to tell them, well, you should get thicker skin to be prepared to deal with that. Like,
and
that's on us. That's
rusted on athletes that happens. And there's not really a fix other than don't look at it. But that's way easier said than done. I don't know how to fix that. But
there you go, John. Too many athletes take it personally when John removes them from the games mountain.
I don't know if that's true. But if it is true, then you probably shouldn't have been on the mountain in the first place.
I know your spot on the mountain is pending. That's it. Okay. So that's it. Well, there we go. Speaking of progressing through towards the games, quarterfinals are coming up. So the team won imminently. Neither of you are doing the team quarterfinals, are you?
Nope.
No. Didn't think so. But both going for the individual quarterfinals?
Yep.
Yes, sir. So I think, John, I saw a comment from you about the team ones. Something I can't remember exactly what it said, but kind of like pretty much basically, if I understood it correctly, it was how much you hope the individual ones don't look like the team ones.
Yeah. Yeah. And they haven't the last 2 years. So yeah, I'm very hopeful. I think the quarterfinals will not look like the team events. I will say, upon further analyzation, I don't think the team workouts are as bad as I first thought they were. Oh, me and Chase have talked about this at length on a podcast yesterday on Get With The Programming. And I do think it tests everything that you should test. Now, do I like those tests? No, I don't. But it does, you know, test conditioning, test strength, test gymnastics, all the stuff. And it does do what it's supposed to do as far as getting people to the next stage. I do think if those are the individual workouts, it's absolute trash. But for team, I don't think it's trash, and I don't think they'll replicate that for individual. They haven't in the last 2 years at all. So if it is, I will be upset, and I will let people know that I'm upset about it.
So this question is for you, Hannah. Do you feel as passionately as John about this? Are you even giving any thought to what's coming up, or are you just like kind of happy in your world and you'll wait until they drop and then you'll look at them and go, okay, these are the workouts?
I mean, obviously there's not a lot I can do about them, so try not to give it too much thought. But yeah, there's some things that I want to see. I'm hoping for no max lift because there's only four events. Obviously, like if they chuck a max lift in there and it's not a two-parter, it puts quite a lot of like weight on your placing. And as someone who's not a great lifter, that's not great.
And I think if and honestly, if there's a max lift and it's not, like you said, a two-parter where that's the fifth score, the programming was so skewed, unbelievably skewed towards stronger athletes. And that should not be the case at all. I'll be just as mad about that. Obviously, like individually, it helps me. I'm not important, right? I want the fittest, like when you're getting the 40 fittest people to your region, right? Like I want that test to be well-rounded. And if a max lift is 25 freaking percent, honestly, a max lift really shouldn't be there. They've painted themselves in a corner with four workouts. I don't think a max lift should be a part of quarterfinals. I think it should be a gated workout where you build two 200-pound snatch for the women, or like a 185-pound snatch for the women, 265 for the men, where you have to earn your right to get there, but it's still there. Right. So the people that can do it have that opportunity. And I think, like Hannah said, if there's any kind of a max lift, I think it's bad. I think it skews it way too much. If it's four events with no two-parter to max lift, that's rough. That's really, really bad. Like,
oh, it's interesting to see the internal conflict you have, John, of like, I really want a max lift for me.
No.
I really don't want a max lift for everybody else.
No, I would be good at it.
I know you would.
I want the right people to get to the next stage.
That's what I'm saying. I never thought I would hear you say that you don't want a max lift. So this has surprised me.
I've been consistent with that forever. People just think
lifting heavy barbells. That's what I think. So Hannah, that's interesting because, you know, John has given us there a very good reason why we shouldn't see like a max lift show up in quarterfinals. So do you want to run with that thought for the next week and just really enjoy the anticipation of what might come?
I think they'll do something. Well, they could do something similar to, like, I think it's 23.3, the open workout. You know, it looks like progressively more difficult gymnastics, progressively heavier barbell, where it's like the handstand push-ups and the snatches. Mm-hmm. I think something like that, where you, as I said, like you've got to like earn your right to get to the heavy barbell, but it's not a purely lifting event. I think something like that would be good and pretty appropriate to put in there.
Yeah, I agree completely. And I'm a big fan of the gymnastic increases in hardness. And then as the weights increase with hardness, I think that's a beautiful combination for a workout. And the fittest will make it an endurance workout, and everybody else, it's just ability based. And I think those workouts are beautiful.
Yeah. And especially when you, again, think of what your end goal is, of like, who are you trying to get through and where we're trying to take them. Like that kind of harmony between the gymnastics and the barbell is then what we want to see. When it comes to games, you know, the games on the competition floor, we want to see people that have all those skills, right? So putting them together in that way, it's brilliant. I've been distracted by a couple of interesting comments. Melissa says, every time you leave blood, sweat and tears day in, day out on anything, you take it personally because you're human. I think that's an interesting point. Obviously, you know, it's easy to say, you know, it's objective. We're talking about your performance. It's not personal, but obviously when you've spent the year training for this, you can take it personally?
I think I'm of the mind that if you take something personal that somebody on freaking YouTube says about you, then you aren't really leaving blood, sweat, and tears days in and days out.
Because you've got time to go on YouTube.
No. Just because the people that do that aren't going to take it personal. They might take it for fuel, but not like, how could you say that about me? Like, they're not taking it like that. They're taking it like, watch this. Like, you know what I mean? That's how they're taking it. And people just are soft.
Really, well, I know that after this, I'm going to go and write better questions because of what you said earlier. So that's the fuel I've been given, John. Ulf asks, says an interesting here. There aren't many teams anyway. The team quarterfinals are kind of obsolete. They should do a direct qualifier for team semifinals. Skip the open.
I don't know. I don't really care.
I think we said it on the show. Maybe it was last week or the week before. Or maybe it was when Brian was on. But the way it works with qualifying a team through your affiliate and just basically being able to pick kind of the four best at each workout, even if they've got no intention of going team, is a kind of loophole that I would like to see closed. And I actually think what you should do is maybe, you know, basically have a big-ish roster that gets cut each stage. So you could have like 10 to 8 as your max that you've put on your team during the open. And then in quarterfinals, it gets cut down. I would say even you get it, you maybe cut it to 8, then semifinals, you've got, this would be my plan. 8 at open, 6 for quarterfinals. And those 6 are your team plus your 2 reserves, and that's it. And then you've got enough, you've kind of got a bit of a buffer in case of an injury, but you've also, you know, you've called your shot on that and go with that. But CrossFit don't listen to me, so that's not going to happen. But anyway, John, the world is difficult.
Thank you, Sam.
Difficulty.
You're completely right.
Anyway, that's good. Okay, so I'm looking forward to seeing what you both put up in quarterfinals. We've talked about heavy barbells. That was the other big thing I was wondering about. So Hannah, you just need to get stronger. Then that's it, basically. According
that's
to John's
the biggest thing.
Advice. Okay.
To make me a more well-rounded athlete, I've just got to get strong, do all my squats, and hope for the best.
Do you enjoy that side of training? Because you said like you enjoy even the grind and stuff, but like when you, if you know, oh, I need to get stronger and I need to do, you know, these progressions, I need to do, you know, the John squat program that he was talking about, or whatever it is. Do you enjoy that, or are you much happier doing like a, you know, a Metcon that you know you're going to do really well at and kind of enjoy? Are you happy to work on your weaknesses, I guess, is the question?
Yeah, I like it all. Like, I do enjoy the lifting as well. I'm just not very good at it. But I'd always opt for like some gymnastics or a long cardio piece over lifting if given the choice.
Are you given the choice, or are you quite strictly kind of forced to do
it? If it's on the programming, I'll do it. So I do my lifting, do it first when I've got the most focus, get it out of the way, and then I do all the fun stuff.
What are you chuckling about, John?
Just the wording on that. Are you given the choice, or are you just a slave to the weight room? Like, you just, whoever our coach has just locked her in the gym and told her not to leave, so she squats 300. That's the way you worded it was just funny.
Well, that's kind of what I meant. It's just that of
no, I know. I just think it was funny. It was, yeah, it was a good question.
Oh, wow, thank you. Now I don't need to go and write better ones.
There you go.
I've lost that fuel. Oh no. That's annoying. Okay. Well, that was it, really. That was my intrigue for, just because I've met you before and I've seen you compete. And are you in the same age bracket as Molly?
Yes.
Molly Butcher. Yeah. So she's
we're in the same division, but she's kind of got 9 months on me. She's one of the older ones in like the games year. So obviously it goes like July to July, and I'm May. So.
Because I feel like you're like two, you know, like, I don't know if I'd say polar opposites, because I mean, she's also good at, but I, again, you're not terrible at lifting. Like, you're just not, relative to the field, you're not as strong as some of the other people, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, how did you do at the Crown on those events that you thought you were going to do badly at?
We had one event which was the I think it was the 2014 Games event, the 21-15-9 complex, which was kind of like a moderately heavy bar. I think it was 52 for the girls. We had deadlifts, power cleans, and snatches. So like for me, that was a fairly high percentage snatch, but I still managed to hold my own. So there was some gymnastics in there as well. But just the outright max lift, I just couldn't contend with the other girls. Like there was probably 8 kilos between me and the person ahead of me in the lift, because it was a clean and a front squat. So I hit 84, which I was fairly pleased with. Like that was a front squat PB for me, big PB. But the other girls were all putting up 90, 100, 105, 110. Like I can't contend with it.
Do you know what their background was? Like, had they all been doing it much longer than you? Had they come from kind of lifting sports previously? Because you spent the whole 4 days with them. You got to know them so well. So I'm sure you would have asked this question.
I tried. There's a language barrier as well. So, yeah, but I think when
you... Does everybody not speak English?
I was the only one... No, there were two of us where English was our first language. Everyone else was... just speaking, they were quite good with English, to be fair. But when it's not your first language, it's always more comfortable to speak in not English.
Yeah. I gotcha.
But yeah, I think when you're this young, like, obviously genetically, some people are just stronger than others, and I think that's very apparent when you haven't got years and years of strength training under your belt. So it's kind of luck of the draw, I think, a bit. But also when some people have been doing it for 10 years. It makes a difference on my 3.5. Like, there's just, a lot that you can do in a year.
Yeah, especially when, or like, even, you know, I don't know, 2 years, you're talking about somebody that started doing it when they were 14 and now they're 16. You know, it's quite different from, like, if I'd be like, oh, I've been doing it for 2 years, I'm like, okay, that's great. That's going from, like, 35 to 37. I don't think it's making as much of a dent in, you know, changes in my life as those really formative years, like, 14, 15, 16. So you're right, kind of a year or two doing it ahead of someone else, or even as you were saying, like Molly, like 9 months, that can have a massive impact. But I mean, also, you know, you're still very young, so there's still time for you to make those progressions as well. More so, I guess, than some of the lads, because that's harder to kind of... Already it's harder for them to compete, you know, when they... That's the big issue, right, with the jump from sort of the teen comp to the elite indie for women versus men tends to be that, you know, the guys can just lift, like the elite individuals are just lifting, you know, John Young level barbells.
Oh, I don't know about that. I mean, that's...
Oh, yeah, you're right. They're not that good. They're not that good.
Yeah, calm down. I agree completely with what she said, though, about genetically, I think your predisposition to be good at a certain type of fitness within the CrossFit realm. Because I think there are some people that endurance gains just happen so quickly. And I've always heard, like, it's so much easier to build an engine than it is to get strong, or like it takes way less time. People tell me that so much. And I think the people that say that are not strong people, because
I say that. I say that all the time.
Yeah. And exhibit A, you're freaking struggling with 52 kilo snatches. That's exactly what I'm saying,
exactly.
Man. I'm just messing with you. But because like I run so much. I run, bike, ski, row so much, and it's just the gains are just little by little, and like you get fitter and fitter, but like I feel like somebody who did the same amount of volume might like shave a minute off of their mile time, where it's I'm shaving 10 seconds, and it's just and if I touch a barbell, just touch it, I'll get stronger. And I think but I also do think that's the beauty of CrossFit. It's not coming from a place of complaining. I'm thinking like that's why CrossFit is so beautiful, because it's who can be the best at everything, right? Who has worked their weakness enough where it doesn't matter what your body don't like? Colton Mearns is 5'4" and he's still rowing a 140 on his intervals, right? Like if he, it's just who can work their weaknesses the most. And I think that's awesome. That's beautiful. And once Hannah's snatching, 85 kilos, she'll make the games as a big girl, not the teen games.
Yeah. Might have to wait a couple years for that yet.
Right. For sure. But I mean, like that's what it is. Right. And then you'll get a cardio workout, you get a swim workout, and you get to show out.
Yeah. Okay,
I have to put John a little bit to the test now because he's an analyst. He's thrown out some interesting numbers there, things like about Colton's split on the row, things like that. It's very good. But he is also American. So he deals in pounds. Now he's thrown out some numbers in kg, and we've got to just check how good are you at converting kilograms to pounds? Because you also do a lot of barbell stuff. I'm thinking very good. Have you joined the rest of the world then? And you just
I just watch a lot of Olympic lifting. When I first got into CrossFit, they like my very first class, I didn't know how to do anything, right? But they did a max power clean, and I like no contact power clean. What would it be? Like 120 kilos. Okay. And I'm not fit at all, kind of chubby. And people kind of made a big, wasn't a good gym, but people made a big deal about it. Like they were like, oh wow, that's real a lot. And I knew I was trash. I knew I was just muscling it. Like, and I was like, wow, I think I could be really good at this. So then I was like, who is the best at Olympic lifting? The Chinese people. The Chinese people are the best at Olympic lifting, bar none. They're better than everybody in the whole world in almost every weight class, except the big boys, because they don't have any big boys. And then in Olympic weightlifting, they operate on kilos. And so like you watch enough of it, you just kind of get it. And it's pretty easy conversion. Like pounds to kilos is just, I have to do it the other way. So like kilos to pounds every time. So you say 80 kilos, you just times two, and then you plus 10% of that weight. And then that's it.
So when super you throw easy. Out the 85 kilo snatch that she needs to hit, that would be?
It's like 190.
Yeah, 187. Well done.
If it's racist, it's still true. So as long as it's true, I don't care if it's racist.
Okay.
I probably shouldn't say that.
It's always good when I know exactly which bit I need to clip for the reel, and we've got it right there. So
yeah, people
good.
Say people take what I say out of context sometimes. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous what comes out of my mouth. I don't even know what I'm saying half the time.
Hannah, Jean had an interesting question for you. It says, Hannah, are other young athletes are leaning, I should just say leaning on you for advice / guidance given your rising profile as a young athlete? And I know that you teach the like kids class at your box anyway, you coach there. So have you had kind of messages from any other young athletes, or are you in like a WhatsApp group chat or something with some of them?
Yeah, so occasionally I get bits and bobs on Instagram from people who are like, oh, I look up to you, or like, have you got any tips or like any competitions to target and stuff? So I got my level one when I was 14, hopefully looking at getting my level two soon. I've got like CrossFit kids in that. So I've been co-coaching the kids and teens classes at my gym for quite a while now. There's a couple of like young, kind of up and coming teens. So if they ever need any help with anything, I'm obviously more than happy to. In a sense, people kind of lean on me because a lot of them are looking at, yeah, actually, I want to do that. I want to compete. I want to make the games. And kind of shows them that you can, from kind of starting at the bottom and watching me get progressively, slowly better.
Do you look up to anybody, like any CrossFit Games athletes, or like you have any favorites?
Nobody in particular. Like I like to watch them all. I watch the elites quite a lot, but I think I look up more to like people in my gym, like my coach, and that like people you can actually see them like day in, day out. I think that's probably more inspiring to me. like role invest models in wise. You
and stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So you were saying you got your L1 when you were 14, yes. And then, you know, obviously you're involved in coaching now. You said you look up to people at your box and that. And I'm just wondering, also with the chats you would have had, despite the language barrier, with the people like at the Crown or some of the other young athletes you speak to, are they as involved, sort of fully in CrossFit as you, like, or do you even suggest that to them? Are you telling them things like, well, get your L1, things like that? Because, you know, when you look at kind of the landscape of CrossFit, early CrossFit Games athletes were gym owners, were people that had their L1, were those that were kind of all in on CrossFit. Now you've got the kind of the genre of athlete that is athlete who maybe sometimes goes to a CrossFit box, but isn't necessarily even kind of that all in on CrossFit per se. And I'm just wondering if the new younger generation coming up are kind of circling back to being more involved in affiliates, being more involved within kind of CrossFit, the methodology, as well as CrossFit, the sport.
I think you get a mix. Like, I know other people who are interested in the coaching. So I do work. So I'm a youth ambassador for the Academy program, which is a non-profit trying to get CrossFit into schools across the UK. So through them, I've got my British Weightlifting Level 2. So I've done lots of coaching bits through them. So there's six of us youth ambassadors who are all aged sort of like 14 to 20. So we're all quite invested in the coaching side of things. But I think being at the Crown this week, that isn't necessarily the same for everybody across the board. I know a lot of people that are all in on the sports side of CrossFit. So like there are a few of them that were homeschooled and stuff. So they spend all day, every day at the gym, but not necessarily in the like affiliate coaching side of it.
I'm not sure that's what you're supposed to do when you homeschool. They were homeschooled. They were all day in the gym. Okay. That's interesting.
That's kind of what I want to do with my future kids. I would love to homeschool my children till high school. And if daddy and mommy are in the gym all day, where are they going to be? You know?
Well, that's true. That'll be interesting. I can't wait to see it, John. I'd love to homeschool my kids. I just wouldn't be able to work, which means they'd be homeschooled like in a cardboard box somewhere on the side of the road because we couldn't afford to live in a house anymore. But apart from that, John, do you have a CrossFit Games athlete you look? It says four. I'm guessing look two.
Look up your two.
Yeah, I guess.
Not really. Part of the reason I think Matt Fraser is the best to ever do it is because he was not very good at conditioning. And then in 1 year, he was the best one. He was trash at sprinting. And then the next year, he was the best one. I think Roy Gamboa beat him in the sprints in 2016. But like he went from trash to basically beating everybody. And I admire people who work the fire out of their weaknesses. Like it's evident that they're weak at something. And then the next year they come, they're not weak at it anymore. Like I think, and every games athlete should like do that, but I don't think anybody was able to work their weaknesses quite like Matt Fraser did. I think Colton Mertens is similar to this, lesser extreme, or just lesser fitness extreme. But that's why I admire him so much. It's not because he's 5'4 and he's fighting giants. That's not it. It's that for him to overcome his anatomical disadvantage on certain workouts, it's just admirable, right? Fikowski's the same way. I admire Fikowski. You would take it the other extreme. For Fikowski to do like, you know, a burpee front squat handstand push-up workout at regionals when he made it his first year, for him to like be first in that workout, second or first, I don't remember, but like insane. And that was what kept him out the year previous. Like I admire performances or weakness work a lot. And that's the type of stuff I look up to. You know, somebody said Patrick Vellner. It'd be like if Patrick Vellner got third in the swim, and he hasn't. and that's why I'm not going to say Patrick Wellner. But I'm not really up to one person individually, but just anytime you see somebody's weak at something and the next year they come back, they're not weak anymore. You know, Ricky Garrard was really, I never thought Ricky Garrard had a chance to win the games because he was weak. He was the best runner in the field. And when you're the best runner in the field, that means you don't get strong very easily. Like Hannah can attest to this, right? She's very aerobic. It's hard to get strong when you're very aerobic. Your body doesn't like it, right? And then Rogue Invitational, he went to the back squat workout, right? And I'm like, God, I mean, it just, and now I think Rick Garrard's going to win the games. And I admire weakness work individuals. So not one person in particular, but just anytime I see that or any, like, it makes me root for those people.
That was a very nice answer. There's a couple of things I'm taking away from it. One is next time someone says I'm short, I'll just go with I have an anatomical disadvantage. And that I thought was quite a nice way of putting it. And I guess when you see Hannah hit that 190-pound snatch.
Oh, thank you for converting it to me. You'll be like, that was very nice of you.
You'll be making a little spot available for her on one of your mountains or hills.
Maybe base camp.
Canyon or base camp. There you go.
You got to do something before you get in the mountain. You got to actually do something.
I was just leaning across off screen because Jean once again says, I'd love to hear more from Hannah about the move to get CrossFit into schools in the UK. And so, Hannah, you're working for the Academy program, right? Or working with the...
Yeah. So if you want to know more about that, the Academy program on Instagram, they have a website as well. They explain it a lot better than I could. But essentially, I don't know what's the best way of putting it. So they're all about getting, making schools like essentially non-profit affiliates. So they're investing all of their money into getting the teachers qualified so they can run classes as PE after school, before school for the teachers and the kids. And then, I'm trying to think. Looking at them on Instagram is the best way to find out more. I've got to be honest.
It's that's
so awesome. I feel like that would be impossible in America to get CrossFit into schools.
Yeah. So is it Hannah? Is it Mito? That's running that.
I don't know how to pronounce it, but yes.
Yeah. Oh, so I'm saying it, and you don't even have to.
Is the UK, are they more lax on that type of stuff?
Well, somebody sent me Hannah's email address, so I am going to be trying to get her on the podcast.
She's very good at explaining it.
To talk about this. Yeah. I don't know. I know one of our members who went and got their L1 and is like a teacher professionally. So the idea was, if I can get my L1 and I'm in the school, and the school he works in as well is not far from our box. So I know he's been trying to kind of see what that allows him to do sort of within the school. And then you've got the Academy program that I know Craig, that is one of our coaches, is also heavily involved with the Academy program as well. So stuff's happening. I just don't know.
It takes a lot for them to get into schools. They've had to do a lot to get to the point where they're now, I think, recent milestone, they've got like 30 affiliates. But another thing they're doing as well is for kids which maybe aren't the most academically gifted, aren't necessarily going to be getting loads of qualifications coming out of school. They've now got a qualification in CrossFit, which is like the equivalent, I don't know if it's the equivalent to a GCSE or slightly below, but so they can be involved in CrossFit and get something out of it as they're coming out of secondary school.
Yeah. So it says, is the intention to have CrossFit as a replacement for physical education class or something on its own? That's interesting. So I don't know how it works at school now, because it's been a while since I was there.
I don't think America even has PE anymore.
So my son will be starting secondary school next school, in the new school term. So what is that, in like September?
who move up to secondary is high schools.
So secondary is from like 11 till 16 years old.
Okay.
Yeah. And then you have to kind of do another 2 years. It's either like at a college or at a, I can't remember now all the different names, but it's, as I said, it's a long time since I was there. And then they can go to, you know, uni or whatever after that. But back when I was at school, and it seems like it's the same so far from what I'm seeing in my kids, is that you had PE. That was sort of like by default you had it, and it just kind of cycled round throughout the year, like depending on the time of the year. And different schools would have different things, but like the school I went to, it was like, for this portion of the school it's football or soccer for our American listeners, and then for this portion you're playing cricket, and then for this portion it's volleyball, and then for this portion it's swimming. And it would just sort of would roll around throughout
it's
the year.
Still the same now, at least it has been for me. So I think the goal would be to have it as like part of PE. It wouldn't replace PE, but it's a part of PE. And I know a lot, it's not necessarily just the PE classes, but they run before school clubs and after school clubs. So it's not necessarily just like class time.
And then when you do your options, is that like 3 years in, I think? It's the last 2 years, maybe?
Yeah, year 9 we do it.
Yeah, so you at that point, so basically in those first sort of 3 years, you don't really get a choice in what you're doing at school. You sort of have to do a bit of everything. And then you get to sort of pick and choose a little bit within sort of a kind of designated window of like, well, you have to have maybe some of these and you have to have some of these, but you can choose sort of how it works. And you can be like, you know, I'm not very good at science, so I'm going to just do modular sciences. It puts them all together, and then that's my science. And someone is like, no, I'm really good at science, so I want to do physics and chemistry and everything separately, and it's more focused and sort of, so it's like that kind of thing. And you could pick as one of your options to do physical education, which I'm assuming they'd like that to be then linked to the kind of being able to leave with a qualification in CrossFit or in sort of sport. I don't know, it's as I said, it's a long time ago when I did this.
I mean, it's all fairly fresh for me. I'm still in school.
Tony says I went to school in the UK 50 years ago. Boys played soccer, rugby, girls did needlework. Well, is it still the same? Has anything changed there?
Nope. I think boys and girls both have the compulsory government hours for PE.
Yeah, and both probably have to do needlework at some point.
Yeah, I think that's part of DT. So yeah, you have to do it at least twice in secondary school.
Yeah,
I don't know. I don't know exactly what needleworking is, but
like
I think
sewing.
I would be so trash at whatever needlework we're trying to do.
I was terrible, really bad.
So again, going back to like, you have to do a bit of everything. You have design technology, right? So design technology is things like woodwork and metalwork and cooking and sewing, and it's like all within this. So you might do a couple of months that you're sort of building a, you know, a chair out of wood, and you're learning to use all like the tools for that.
Like and then random mini projects.
Yeah, and then you're cooking for the next couple of months, and you're having to make a risotto. I don't know. It's
except it's never usually that exciting. I think we did a fruit salad, coleslaw.
Oh. NZ has another, is that New Zealand? Has a number of CrossFits in high schools.
Ah. Kiwis.
See, they're advanced people. They're not just advanced in the fact that it's much earlier in the day for them. They're like a whole day ahead of us. They're way ahead of us with regards to getting CrossFit into school and things like that. So there we go. Okay, that's interesting. Are you going on the, have you got the spin podcast after this, John?
Not that I'm aware of. I think they were talking. I think Brian.
Oh, Brian. Okay, Brian. Yeah. Friends. Oh,
your favorite analyst.
John, you're here. What are you talking about? I don't pick favorites. You'll notice I don't pick favorites because people ask Hannah who she looks up to in CrossFit, and then they ask John who he looks up to in CrossFit, and then they know not to ask me because they're like, Jason won't give us a name because he doesn't pick favorites. He's always fair. Oh, crocheting. John, do you know crocheting?
Well, my wife crochets. My wife is like big into crochet.
Well, there you go.
Like at an obsessive rate.
And what's an obsessive rate for crochet?
Oh, like no, she has like a crochet business. Like,
oh really?
She's, yeah, and she's been selling it. She got her own company. It's called the Mustard Seed Crochet Company, or I think that's what it's called. But like, she comes home and then she'll just crochet freaking rabbits and ducks for 5 hours and then goes to sleep. It's ridiculous. I should have never let her start, but I did, and now it's here to stay, and I don't know if I'll ever get her to stop. It's crazy. I think if I did CrossFit at the weight she crochets, I would be at the games by now. Like, that's how, when I say obsessive rate, I'm not kidding. And then she's freaking sell. I don't know how she's doing it, but she's selling it. Like, it's not even like it's successful. And she's like, I can't keep up with all these orders. And I'm like, just hire some 12-year-old kid to come help you. Like, you know what I mean? Like, put the little hands to work. And then give them, and she has
this.
Done
is this yet. Linking back to the you're wanting to homeschool children in the future?
No, well,
just put them to work crocheting. That's
it. We got an upstairs. I'll give them an office upstairs. I don't got to deal with it, but that'll be, I can come home to silence. It'll be fine.
I need someone to crochet some kitchen tiles for me. Is she on Etsy? I'm going to go look. Where can we find her? Come on, Joe. You've plugged your barbell.
Let me look at her Instagram and I will plug it real quick. I don't have it memorized. I try to stay as far away from it as possible.
Like the supportive guy you are.
So if you just go to @MissYoungGuns, MrsYoungGuns, Miss Young Guns all together on Instagram. It will lead you to her company. And you can see all of her creations. We just had Easter, so there's a whole bunch of Easter stuff, a whole bunch of little bunnies. And she can make pretty much anything you want her to make. She'll give you a price.
Like little barbells, little kettlebells, things like
that. Yeah, people have requested those. Like, actually, I think those are actually really hard to make. But I really don't want to get into a crochet talk, because I'm telling you, that's all that it is when I'm home. It's like I have my CrossFit. So like, I go to the gym, and then if I'm on the computer, it's all CrossFit talk. It's all just, you know, talking about CrossFit people, which is great. And then if I'm not there, we're talking crochet, and then that's it. That's my life. Crochet and corgis. And yeah.
Have you suggested she does a crochet podcast?
Oh, that would be a train wreck. That would be pretty hilarious, actually. I don't know if enough people crochet to like for her to talk with.
I reckon, based on nothing, I'm going to say I reckon more people crochet than do CrossFit.
Dang, that's a failure on CrossFit's fault apart then.
Yeah. Hannah, do you want to weigh in on this? What do you think?
I don't know. I reckon it's a bit of a niche thing, isn't it?
That's what I feel. I think so too. But a lot of people would say CrossFit's a niche thing.
Yeah, but
I know it's your life, but if you go ask some random, hey, what do you think about CrossFit? They'd be like, I mean, it's no soccer, you know.
Most people don't know what it is. Well, that's my experience. I say I do CrossFit. They're like, what's CrossFit? It's like, it's a great question.
Well, the follow-up question should be, do you know what crochet is? And they go, oh, is CrossFit a type of crochet? And you go, no. And then...
it's a type of needlepoint. You have to...
Latest estimates tell us that over 50 million people around the world knit or crochet.
I reckon more people know what crocheting is than know what CrossFit is.
That's so sad. It makes me sad. That's going to be the takeaway on this podcast, Jason. That's what I'm going to walk away with.
CrochFit. There we are.
Oh, man. I think people are going to read that a completely different way, Barkley, and that is not going to be what you think it is. That's going to take you to some dirty sites. I wouldn't type that in on the internet.
Oh, I mean, I'm intrigued, John, when you said yes to coming on. Did you at any point think, oh, this is probably going to divulge into crochet chat?
I did not. But I didn't know what it would divulge into. Most of the time, I just jump into things with no idea where it's going to go, and then it usually comes out okay.
Yeah. Well, that's how this starts anyway. Well, that's the structure of this podcast in the first place, is there is no, I've got no intent. I just want to chat with, you know, some people in the fitness space, some incredibly fit teens, some very smart analysts, and then we'll see where it goes. Judy's gone and checked out the site. She's there. You go.
She's gonna be thrilled about this. She's gonna come home from work and just that's probably wake me up.
Yeah. So like, I when she says, "Oh, how was the podcast?"
I'm gonna say uneventful. That's what I'm gonna say.
What you need to say to her is, I think PlateStack Chat should be your new favorite CrossFit podcast because it's the only one that has given a good 15 minutes to Crochet Chat.
She might sponsor you, give you $50.
Yeah, go for it. And then she can crochet me something and put it on a shelf.
How much here? I'm sorry that you got to go through this, Hannah. This is, how much money would it take for you to put her little logo and name just as a sponsor on your podcast?
How long does she want it there?
Let's say a month.
A month?
Yeah.
For you, John, I'd give her some super bargain price. Well, look at how many names and logos are on the bottom at the moment.
That's why I'm asking. Yeah.
So she can make me an offer and I'll say yes.
Okay. She's probably, I'm so for real about this right now. Like 100%.
Yeah. Do you think I'm going to say no?
I don't know. Some people,
do you think Fit Aid's going to come after me and say, how dare you put them on? You know, we're competing with them.
I think if I sold that to Sevan, he would call me retarded. So that's what I think. But
there we go. Well, hopefully Sevan is coming on this soon, so then we can ask his opinion. Oh, apparently you've talked about crochet numerous times on Spin's podcast.
I don't know about that. They might ask me what is my wife doing, and I probably said crocheting her life away. That's all.
That's the extent.
Yeah.
But how many followers did she pick up from that? None.
That's true. I'll be interested to see if she does pick up any followers. That will be a test to see how successful your podcast is.
Well, you know what you're really lucky about, John, is that at one point you said, I don't care if it's racist, if it's true, I'm still going to say it. And for the longest time, that was going to be the real. But there's a good chance that Crochet Chat will have knocked that out. So
there we go. I'm glad I could worm my way into something else.
Yeah, you've got to hope, but it'll probably be Hannah saying something important about the academy program or something like that.
Yeah, much more politically correct. You don't strike me as a tabloid type of a guy.
That's good that I don't, because I don't think I am that. I don't think Hannah would have agreed to come on if she thought I was a gotcha journalist that was just here to say. So I heard the crown was fixed, and
it'd make an interesting conversation.
Yeah, I heard that, you know, PEDs were being handed out among all the teens. Is that true? No.
Absolutely. True,
yeah. Well, they might have been. You don't know what they were saying.
It's true.
Take these vitamins. They're great for you.
Where were the majority from? I know the winners were from Iceland, weren't they?
Yeah, so we had three guys from Iceland.
Typical.
They made up a quarter of the field. Who else do we have? We had a French guy, someone from Spain, two from Spain, actually. There was an American, two Swedish guys, someone from Norway. This is really bad, I should remember. Oh, someone from Belgium. It's one more. I can't remember. But yeah.
I don't think you should feel bad, because I think John would have just said there was one American, there was an English person, and some from Europe. And that would have covered
100%. That's 100% what I would have said. Unless they did something significant. Like, right? So, like, if that French dude snatches 140, I'm like, y'all, this French guy was so freaking strong. Or, you know, runs a 17-minute 5K. You know, I would know that you just got to do something for me. I just don't remember you unless you matter. And I know that sounds bad, but that's the truth.
Yeah. We've circled right the way back to burnout and what people hear said about them and things like that. And you're going, well, I just don't remember you unless you do something that matters. And that person goes home thinking, oh, I don't matter to John Young. That means I've...
And that should not bother you.
I've never done anything in my life.
It shouldn't bother you one iota at all.
So what's the plan for the next couple of weeks? Then you've got quarters, Hannah, and then anything between then and, you know, the next stages? Are you doing any of the comps? Are you just working on your weaknesses so that you can snatch a heavy enough barbell to impress John Young? What's your...
That's pretty much my plan now. I'm just going to be snatching till I get the 85.
Well, I hope you get there. It would give me so much joy.
Yeah, good. Now, I've got... I haven't got many comps booked in at all this year. A couple of, like, team ones, again, like, keeping it fun. But between now and quarters and semis, nothing booked in, really. Just training, getting strong, doing my squats.
Very good. Oh, look at you. John had a nod of approval when you said that.
Weakness work.
Yeah. Are you... Funny, because I was looking, as I said, I was looking at kind of your past performances and this year, and one of the things that was interesting is, you know, obviously you jumped some places, you know, worldwide, you jumped some places in Europe, in the UK. The interesting one that you jumped was in your local affiliate, where you won in the teen division last year, but you came fourth overall, like in the box, whereas this year you came first across the board.
I did, correct? Yeah.
So are you planning to do any comps? Are you going to any comps that aren't teen competitions, but just going to go and test yourself against some of the, let's say, bigger, stronger ladies that have been doing it a lot longer, just to see where you kind of stack up, or you're just focused in on sort of the teen comp at the moment?
I think this year my main focus is just going to be for the teens, but that's definitely what I'm looking at doing more now. So I did one RX comp last year, think Battle for Middle Ground Ragnarok. I went in RX just kind of see what happened, and I ended up coming away second. But yeah, after the Open this year, I think I've kind of proved to myself that actually I do stack up against the big girls as well. So obviously in the next few years, when I'm looking to bridge the gap from teen to individual, I'll be looking at doing more RX, see if I can maybe get in on some elite comps, just kind of see where I stand.
Nice, excellent. And as I always say to, you know, these up and coming incredible athletes, don't forget me when you make it to the games and the big leagues, and suddenly you're a superstar, and conveniently my DMs just go into the sort of request folder again and they never get mentioned. I'm like, do you remember when you came on PlayStack Chat? You want to come back? Sorry, I don't know who you are.
No, I think that happens in CrossFit. I've always said, I think CrossFit famous is like the greatest type of famous of all time, because nobody knows who you are and nobody cares who you are until the games. And then everybody knows who you are. Like, then you are a celebrity. Like, people
within CrossFit.
What?
Within CrossFit.
Yeah, yes.
And then outside of the bubble of CrossFit,
the second that game is over and you go to Walmart to go grocery shopping, they got Walmarts in the
UK. No, but we know what they are. Don't worry. Okay. We'll roll with you on this.
Little grocery shop. You go grocery shopping. Nobody knows who you are. Like, you're just a person.
I always refer back to the, do you remember the All In documentary series with Brent Fikowski? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And he's like driving around asking people if they know who Brent Fikowski is. And somebody even says, oh, yeah, I've heard of him. Yeah. I've heard of him. And he's
straight to his face.
Yeah.
Yeah. Brent, and that dude is the second fittest man in the world at the time. And nobody knows who he is. Like, I mean, I think that's amazing. I love that. I love it.
John won't forget when Leslie makes it with crocheting. There you go. Yeah.
I would
start
love
compiling a new mountain, the mountain of top crocheters.
I don't know what making it big in crochet would even consist of.
Oh. Madeiros is finding out the reverse.
I don't know. What do you mean by that? What does she mean by that?
I don't know. Maybe that I'm guessing that people don't, that he's like, his fame is dropping, maybe? I don't know. Maybe we'll get a follow-up on that. John, what have you got planned apart from quarterfinals?
We got Taylor versus the World 2.0 nearing quarterfinals, so that's going to be really, really awesome. If you guys watched the first one, it turned out way better than I think anybody could have imagined. Even Taylor himself, I know he's got cockier and all get out, but I don't know if he knew he was going to do as good as he did, but he freaking murdered it. And so Dallin Pepper, Colton Mertens, and Jason Hopper and Taylor are all going to be at one gym, at CrossFit Crash, JR's gym, and they're all going to do quarterfinals together, and we're gonna film it all, and we're going to talk about each workout just like we did last time. So that would be a lot. And then quarterfinals, you know, I hope to do well myself in quarterfinals. I'll be doing those workouts too. The most important thing, though, that I have coming up, like bar none, more than my wife's birthday. My wife's birthday is not coming up, but if it was, it would have to take a back seat to this, is that we're going to do a CrossFit Jeopardy show on Get With The Programming next Friday at 10:15 specific time. Specific time, which is 12:15 Central. So that is the most important thing. Now we got that out of the way. Other than that, I think that's it.
Oh, now I'm having to convert times. Hold on.
We need GMT time.
We're British summertime at the moment. That will be 6:15 PM. If you're in the UK
time.
And you're watching
prime time.
What day is that as well? Is that Friday? Oh.
Next Friday. Hmm. Oh, and I want to talk about this. On Wednesday, this coming Wednesday, we got Colton Mertens versus Jake Berman, 100 burpees for time, bar facing burpees for time. A lot of trash talk has been thrown around with those two. There's whoever wins gets $1,000. It was thrown out there that I would get a 30 burpee lead and see if I could win doing 70 burpees versus them doing 100. But ultimately, that got shot down. That should be exciting. I'm excited to see that. Tim Murray, Sevan's going to have Tim Murray do it as well. He's the fittest little person in the world, and he said that he's got a shot at it too. So we'll see. So that's exciting.
Yeah, I'm enjoying Colton's tour at the moment of just
savagery.
Yeah, just nobody's he can't even be bothered to remember the names, I think, is what I enjoy the most about it. The one he did the other day with, you know, about potatoes and Hopper and Pepper and that, and just the guy is he's savage at the moment. So
dude, he's a freaking dog. And I mean, like, I think if he wasn't, he can back it up, is the thing. It's like when Colton says, hey, I'm going to be really good at this workout, he beats everybody in the world by a lot. And you just got to respect a guy like that.
Yeah. I've always had tremendous respect for Colton Mertens. Let the record show. I think the first time I really maybe took note of who Colton was, remember when Rogue did the Rogue Invitational, but like the online one that was.
Oh, 2020.
Yeah. So, and they
the
were
overhead
all
squats and the deadlifts.
Yeah, or just that. I mean, the whole event, really. And I think he had another one that he absolutely smashed out of the park. And because of the way it was set up, that, you know, they all had their own kind of camera set up in their gym, and they were, you know, it was like side by side on the screen. Poor, what was it like? all the ones in Australia, it's like the middle of the night, and like Cara was like having to go and feed the baby and then come back. It was just insane. But, yeah, I think that's the first time I'd ever. That's back when he had the mullet, mm-hmm. and he was like, before he had the mullet. Then he got a mullet, and then he got rid of it.
He wasn't near as fit. I don't think he could make the games at that time, or like he was approaching being able to make the games. But and then he comes out. Nobody knows who he is. We just know he's short. That's it. And then he comes out and beats everybody by a minute and a half on a 4-minute workout.
Yeah. Well, as a fellow vertically challenged person,
How tall are you?
I'm slightly taller than Colton.
Oh, you're like 5'5", really?
Yeah.
Have you met Sevan in person?
I haven't yet, no.
He'll make you feel tall.
Yeah. I look forward to it. I want a hotel. So I'm so pleased to meet you. Why? Well, John said you'd make me feel tall. So
yeah, it'll make you feel good about yourself.
Yeah. Hannah, final question then, after hearing John and I sort of geek out a little bit about people like Colton Mertens. You said that you don't really follow anyone specific, kind of you look up to all of them and you kind of watch all of them. How like all in on kind of following the games and the athletes and things like that are you?
Fairly all in. Like, I like to keep tabs on what people are doing, but also try and like not get too obsessed with it, like, because ultimately it doesn't matter what the people are doing.
Yeah.
Especially not the elites, because I'm not competing against them yet. But I think it's just interesting to see like how different people train and stuff, and see what I need to be doing in the next few years to get to where they are.
Have you ever seen Every Second Counts, Hannah?
No, I haven't.
Okay, you should look up. It will make you laugh. Like, I'm watch it as a comedy, okay? And I shouldn't say that, because it's Sevan's documentary and it's amazing. But watch it as a comedy, because it's about the CrossFit Games in 2008. Okay, and like if you don't like nerding out on stuff like that, then don't. But if you do, it's just the amount of like douchebaggery that's in this, like, that every single person has. It's just a guy's locker room in college, like, if you could think about that. And then you see the women that are doing the games and like what their snatches look like, and it's incredible. It's just so funny the whole time at how like not fit people were in 2008, and then they were like, we're the fittest people in the world, and like I think CrossFit could kill people. And they just, what CrossFit evolved into after 2000, like you ever watch this documentary, you're like, how did it get to where it is today? Because it is insane. It's so funny. It's great.
So it puts into perspective like how much the sport's evolved, yeah, like over the years.
Yes. And then what's otherworldly impressive is if you look up Jason Khalifa's time on the last event, it's incredible. I tried to do it and I can't beat it. And I think Hiller tried to beat it and beat it by like 2 seconds. Like we're all within five, but the fact that he did it in 2008 is even more insane. But it's just, it will make you laugh at what CrossFit was in 2008. If anybody hasn't seen it it's watching right now, look up Every Second Counts, either find it illegally or find it legally. Doesn't matter to me. And watch it. It's so great. It's so great.
Yeah. And according to John, if you've been looking for it under like sports or documentaries, you won't find it, because apparently it's a comedy. So you need to be
clicking the comedy box. Watch it as a comedy, because it will make you laugh. Yeah.
My wife sent me a message saying, you're 5'8". And I'd love to say that I'm 5'8". I'm 5'6". So that's 168 centimeters if you want.
Hey, it's Matt Fraser.
If you want that. Yeah. Yeah. So you're saying I could win the games. That's good to know. If I worked on my weaknesses like Matt did. There we go. Yeah. Every Second Counts. Go and give that a watch. I agree with that. And go back and watch all of the old documentaries and all the stuff. It's good. It's good to go back and
watch quite a lot of the old game stuff, to be fair. Like, I think it's just interesting.
Yeah. It is. Yeah. Why not? I mean, like, I think that's gonna be one of like the great things of coming into CrossFit now, is then being able to like go back and watch that stuff. Whereas if you experienced it and you watch back, you can kind of go back and watch it for like nostalgia, but it's not a surprise to you. Because you're like, oh, I remember when, you know, Annie couldn't climb a rope. Or I remember when, you know, oh, yeah, Annie had to get, like, someone had to show her how to do a ring muscle up before. Like, you'd never go to the games now and expect someone to have to learn a movement that's going to be in a workout, you know, apart from some. He says that and then he thinks of double under crossovers and things like that. So maybe sometimes.
Every year,
maybe sometimes. But it's not the same. I think it's not the same. Very good. Okay. Well, I know what I was going to ask, because you were saying about going back and looking at the old ones. I'm pretty sure at the Crown, one of the events, wasn't that a an old games workout.
Yeah, the 2014 games event, the 2015-9 complex.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, even there, you can sort of see what, you know, teams are able to put up now.
I watched that before before we did the event. So we announced it in the morning. So I went and had a little watch.
You try to go unbroken like Camille?
Yeah, maybe not. I think it was different for them anyway, because they were like moving forward each time, like to the bar and stuff. But the time they put up with moving forward was fairly similar to what we got. I think they were 4:12 or something, and we were doing it in like 4:40.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think everybody opted for singles on the cleans and mismatches, whereas they didn't at the games, obviously. But we did it same weights and stuff as them.
Yeah, but then again, they
that's a fun workout too. It's very quick.
It was a good one. I enjoyed it, to be fair.
It's like high skill, and if you're strong, you can show it. But it's just so quick that like it's got this. You can send it, but it's probably going to hurt to send it feel to it.
Got a bit grippy as well, to be fair.
Yes. Yeah. Very grippy. Yeah.
Like, I think that was the thoughts on going singles, was just mitigating like the grip fatigue ready for the gymnastics.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I think I would have done it in singles no matter what. Even if you told me I'd had the whole day and I didn't have to hang on any bar or anything, I'd been like,
can you snatch 155, Jason?
Hold on a second.
70 kilos.
Yeah, 70 kilos.
No, definitely not. Not at the moment. Not at the moment. Definitely. During my period of being pretty ill and not being able to train, I actually lost weight, and I did not have any weight to lose. So that's been a big. I only weigh currently about 64 kilos. So I'm.
I weigh more than that.
Wow, you're a cyclist. Yes, a cyclist body going on.
It took me ages to like get up to being like 68, 69 kilos, and then I got ill for a while, and it all disappeared. So that's this year, John. I'm on the rebuild. I'm gonna go over to John Young Barbell and start following some strength training
I'm just gonna tell you to eat more.
I'm eating. Don't worry. I'm doing it. Don't worry. Well, this was a problem that when I got ill, I couldn't. It wasn't that I just couldn't train. I couldn't keep food down.
Sure, you know, I get it.
But, and it was a month, and I was just like, you know, it's so hard to build, and then you lose everything so quick. That's the injustice of it all. But yeah, I'm really glad that we got to finish with that, me revealing how weak I am at the moment. The Open did that enough for me. So that was it's actually funny because I remember finishing the Open this year, and it felt like when I finished the Open, the very first time I ever did the Open. And the first time I did the Open, I did it RX. This time I did it RX, and all the years in between. But the first year and this year is when I was like, oh yeah, the Open just really revealed how weak I am. And like, you know, everyone's complaining about chest to bar pull-ups. I'm like, chest to bar pull-ups. Great. Love chest to bar pull-ups. Thrusters, no. That's the problem. So anyway, very good. Okay, well,
dude, Hannah murdered that workout. She got 12 minutes on that workout.
I did, yeah.
Are you gonna pull up her stats? You've been checking.
Nah,
checking me out before.
I might have glanced at you. No, because I was just no. You were talking about the. You said she murdered the Open, so I went and saw what she got. Yeah. That workout was pretty brutal. I enjoyed it quite a bit, but props to you for smoking it that badly.
I hate thrusters, like,
they were somewhat heavy too.
Yeah, like for me, the 43 was pretty heavy. But I got through the thrusters because the gymnastics afterwards was a bit of a reward. Like, you get through the thrusters, you can do some muscle ups.
Did you break them up?
I broke all the thrusters and none of the gymnastics.
You did still have some broken.
Yeah, because I was like, good, I need to play girl. To my strengths.
Yeah.
To my strengths.
I actually think that workout was way more on the gymnastics than it was the thrusters, because I know JR told me that he broke the thrusters up too, and he got like 10:45 or something like that, something ridiculous. And man, those thrusters weren't nothing. And then, but then I, for me, and then I went and just sat down on a stack of plates, waited a minute, and then did some muscle ups, then sat back down. And then it was just a long slog. And then, but I enjoyed it quite a bit.
I feel like I spent way too much time just like sat on the floor contemplating life choices.
Yeah, not a lot of time. I mean, 12 minutes is flying.
The only workout I enjoyed was the second one.
Second one was fun.
24.2. I liked that.
It's just a keep moving kind of one, wasn't it?
That's what I liked. Like for me coming back, that was the perfect thing. It was just kind of pick a pace and just keep moving with it. And then, like, I just had my little personal goal was just to make sure all the double unders were unbroken, mm-hmm. And that was it. And so I did that, and then I was like, okay, that's probably going to be my best achievement of the Open. It's just that I didn't trip on a double under. So that's, you know, there we go. Very good. Wow. So, yeah, revealed how amazingly fit you two are and how poor I am at the end of this podcast. So we might have to.
Hannah is much fitter than I am. I want to go on record saying that Hannah is much. Don't let me in the same.
Not strong, though. Nowhere near as strong.
Well, there you go. We can combine the two of you. Can make a great athlete.
Yeah, go team in pairs.
Yeah, pairs. I always think it's a good option. Pairs and teams. Anyway, this is maybe going for the record of the longest episode. So I'm going to wrap it up now. Also, because it's getting late here in the UK. I know John's got all this daylight outside, but not us. So I'd like to thank everyone that was in the comments. Thank you so much for your wonderful questions and observations and compliments to John Young. The insults, was a bit mean, but the compliments are very much appreciated. Don't forget to go and give Hannah a follow to build that amazing social media profile she's got. John as well, if you don't already follow him and you want to know what's going on in the world of CrossFit, he's a
cow_CF on Instagram.
Yeah, that's true.
Say it again. Go ahead and spell it.
HOW_CF.
Yeah, you will not find it if you write Hannah. That is a good point. Yeah. Yeah, I will. I'll put it in the show notes afterwards so people can click it and find it there. JohnYoung.CrossFit is there because he's put it there. And it's what's your barbell one? Is it JY Barbell?
Yeah, I mean, if you go to that one,
it will link you across to the other one as well. Of course it will. Why not? So thank you both for coming on. Thank you, everyone, for watching. Come back on Monday at 5 p.m. UK time, which would be 11 a.m. Central. And then I guess you can do the maths from there as to what other times that would be, as I'll be joined by two other incredible women in the world of CrossFit. We will have Athena Perez and Andrea Solberg on the podcast. So come back for that. Thank you, Hannah. Thank you, John. And we'll see you all hopefully on Monday.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.